Earth explorers, welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become that you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. If you have survived the disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. Oh, we are so glad that you are here with us today, here on X Squared Radio. We're coming to you live from Eastern Washington State. Our AccuWindow forecast says today, snow, again, here it is, the middle of April, and it's still snowing here in Eastern Washington State. The limb of the sun is bristling with activity today. Several large prominences have caught the attention of observers with solar telescopes. The sun is, however, blank today with no sunspots. This may be the calm before the storm, as we are now sure that solar cycle 24 has begun. By 2012, X-class solar flares will be a regular occurrence. Don't put all your eggs in the microelectronics basket. Have a backup. Earth is entering a stream of debris from Comet Thatcher, the source of the annual Lyrid meteor shower. Unfortunately, this year's display will be curtailed by bright moonlight. Forecasters expect no more than 5 to 10 meteors per hour when the shower peaks on April 21st and 22nd. The only hope for more is a Lyrid outburst, which sometimes happens when the Earth passes through a dense clump of debris. The last such outburst in 1982 produced more than 90 Lyrids per hour. It was quite a show. I remember being out on Lake Cherokee with the Boy Scouts that night, seeing quite a show. Now, if you were out last night when the moon was full, you saw a very neat site. It passed through a luminous pink band known as the Belt of Venus. And what a wonderful moonrise it was. If you were out last night, you had a rare opportunity to see that pink moon. Now we are cautiously watching the west coast of Oregon after a swarm of more than 600 earthquakes in less than 10 days. Keep watching for a rash of missing animals on the news in that area. It will mean pack a car and get to higher ground, people. If the Juan de Fuca plate has a large quake, the tsunami might be a couple of hundred feet. As close as that plate is to the shore, you will only have between 1 to 3 minutes after the quake to get off the beach. Just thought you might like to know. The moon is widely thought to have formed after an object roughly the size of Mars crashed into Earth 4.5 billion years ago, throwing up a cloud of debris that eventually coalesced into a rocky sphere. Prior to the impact, the Earth's axis of rotation may have been steeply tilted, and the planet would have spun much faster, with a day lasting as little as 4 hours. The model also showed that the direction in which the Earth spins could have been reversed by the impact. This is evidence in strong support of hollow Earth theory, as the crust is still cracking, filling in with molten rock, and thus expanding the diameter of the planet. This results in a void forming between the molten iron core and the crust. The core continues spinning at its original rate, thus generating a powerful magnetic field around the planet. It is now believed that all planets eventually form as hollow spheres, not solid balls. Whether they have a core left behind in the center is what results in a magnetosphere or not. Particles of invisible matter have been detected deep inside a mountain in Italy. A collaboration of Italian and Chinese physicists claims, on Wednesday, the 16th of April, at a workshop in Venice, Italy, the Dark Matter Collaboration announced the results of the four-year second phase of its experiment. Now, these scientists claimed to see dark matter back in 2003, but some scientists believe the result was a quirk of statistics. Now, the evidence is stronger. Astronomers believe our galaxy is awash with particles of dark matter, the invisible unidentified substance that makes up nearly 90% of the matter in the universe. So far, the existence of dark matter in space has only been determined by its gravitational pull on normal stars and galaxies, you know, the ones we can see through our telescopes. This means that the Earth may be far more dense than scientists once thought, making it entirely possible to have a void several hundred miles wide inside the planet while still maintaining Earth's present orbit around the Sun. Last week we had three guests here on X Squared Radio. Stan Deo came on board and shared his insights on the present swarm of earthquakes off the coast of Oregon. He also shared his breakthrough propulsion technology that will soon make its flight debut. We are invited to the maiden flight, and so are you. We will bring that event to you the best way we know how, right here on X Squared Radio. And then we had Sally, the Dreamwalker, join us to explain how she escorts the dead through to their destination. And we had William Donovan tell us about several new energy technologies that are coming to fruition. Most new technologies are waiting to make the prototype stage, but we strongly believe someone will get the next generation of energy sources ready to launch. Our friends down at Phoenix Science Foundation are waiting to go into mass production with something, anything, that promises to get us off foreign sources of power and helps clean the environment. This week, we have as our guest an explorer who we learned about several months ago. We recently made contact with him and found out that he has been witnessing extremely high-altitude battles between UFOs high over our planet. That's right, warfare going on above our heads, but not in the visible range of light. He uses special equipment to see them and to help others see them. Please welcome with me Ed Grimsley. How are you, Ed?
Oh, tired, exhausted, and having fun.
Well, that's good. You know, it's only work when you'd rather be doing something else.
Yeah, really.
So I wanted to ask you a question. When did you first try using night vision equipment to look up at the sky?
I first tried it in about 98, 99. I bought my first pair to see if I could see the UFOs because I had saw them in battle when I was younger, and I wanted to know if they were still out there, and they were. So ever since then, I've been getting money up and buying more pairs and more pairs and taking people out to watch.
Well, did you see something the first time you tried?
Yes. I saw something the first time that was, they were three ovals flying in formation, and my guess now is probably they were about 70 miles up. And
wow.
It was amazing because I had seen them first in 1961 and here in 98, I believe it was, or 99. They were still there, and it was still going on.
Ed, is there any way you can speak up just a little bit? We're having a hard time hearing you down here.
Okay. Is this any better?
Yeah, that's much better. Thank you. So, is the night sky above the Earth completely filled with moving thermal images, or is it just certain locations?
Well, I have found out that by looking for them in Hawaii, looking at different states, that they can be just about anywhere, and there are a couple of hot spots that are more so than others. I found one of the hot spots is down in Monterey, and the other hot spot is here in Calistoga, and then I think James Gilliland's ranch up in Washington is another good hot spot, and I think that there's crossings and paths that they take, and if you're looking at the right time, you see them. But there's times you can look out there and there won't be anything. You won't even see a satellite.
Wow,
so,
that really... So you bring groups out to your location?
Yeah, people come here and I take them out, take them down to the Little Lake Field, do that type of stuff. I helped build the Little Lake Field and donated it, so they won't kick me off of it. And I go to other people's places, and they get in groups of people, or I go do a radio show someplace and then meet at a location after. And basically people show up to look, and that's a lot of fun because people really enjoy seeing that what I tell them is the truth. Recently down in Monterey, I've done the Bob Oliver show six times now and took classes down, and every time I've been able to show people some UFO activity, and a couple of times they've got to see them fight and blow each other up, and these are people that come in from nowhere to look, don't even know their names, but they're on record now, and they have been witnesses to the fact that they do fight, they do blow each other up, and sometimes they pass right near each other, and I don't know if they're the friend or foe, but they'll travel real close and kind of move and wig-wag like a hello kind of thing, and on they go.
Well, how long had you been observing them, just kind of watching them travel around before you discovered that they were actually fighting with one another?
Okay, maybe I should just start in the beginning and tell you quick and bring this up to date. In fact, I've talked to a lot of people about the UFO activity that I saw. And when I was a kid, I was 10, 12 years old, I saw two on Mount San Helena in head of the Napa Valley. And they pulled in and was out over the cliff area, and they're big and huge, and just like you see in the movies and the storybooks, little dome, oval, and a couple of windows, and or vents or something that was there. And they watched me for about a minute. I watched them, and as a kid, I kind of waved back at them, and one of them wobbled like as if to wave, and then they zoomed, and off they went. And my members of my family and my uncles and some other people were there on the hiking trip with us. That was the next subject of our life for the next few months. But then they were seen again by my uncle and three other people with a big mothership and some smaller ones, like protecting it or guiding it. And that was, I think, about 4 months later, 6 months later. So it's been pretty interesting. And then when I was 15, that was about when I was 10 or 12. When I was 15, I was riding a dirt bike up in the mountains near us in the old mining area in the Stagecoach Road, where the silver mining and the horse and wagons used to carry the ore out. And as I was way back in there, a man flagged me down and was walking. And at 15, I didn't know what to think, but he told me that he'd started out in North Dakota or South Dakota and had met some people that were from within the earth. And they invited him to see. They masked him and took him in the earth and unveiled him. And then he'd been traveling with him. He didn't know how long, 2 or 3 weeks. And he asked me that they brought him to the surface. And he asked me if I could get him to the nearest town, wanted to know where he was, what state he was in, and all that. So I took him into Calistoga and took him to our local refreshment stand. Back in that time, it was at the old airport in Calistoga. And I bought him burgers and shakes and stuff and got him on the phone. And he didn't want to talk to his wife until I did. So I explained to her, and she thought I was crazy, that he'd been missing for 30 days. And basically, what condition was he in? So after talking to her and getting her happy and mad, I was able to put the husband on the phone, and she did a lot of yelling. And basically, she believed him, and she didn't have the money to get him home. So she asked me to help, and she would pay it back. So I went around using my money from trimming grass and lawn mowing and doing the things and the odd jobs I used to do. And I went around getting money and went to my hunting and fishing friend, a guy named Harm Walker, and he told me I was nuts, that not to help the guy. He was a psycho and there was nobody in the earth. But if I wanted to do it, it was up to me. I was still going to owe him the $20 I borrowed, whether I get it back or not. And so I did. And basically, about 2 weeks later, I got a money order in the mail. I gave him $56, put him on the bus, helped him out, and got a check for $66. And she thanked me for helping him home and gave me $10 extra. Well, that was in 1960, so $10 was probably worth a $50 bill now. So I just passed it off and said, well, that's the way it is. But I wished I had their address. I wished I knew where they were, but they're probably both gone by now, because 1960 was a long time ago, and he was about 60 years old then. So that's my second interesting thing. And then when I was 16 years old, my family, we were up deer hunting in Sierra, near a place called Sierraville on Weber Lake. And 2 days before deer season, I was laying on the sleeping bag about 9 o'clock and looked up, and I could see spacecraft and little sparkly dots flying around, and then I could see that they're firing on each other, and I could barely see them, but you could still see them because the sunlight was hitting right and it was real clear. So I woke everybody up in camp and yelled and hollered, and everybody got out of sleeping bags and looked. And at first they thought I was having a bad dream, and they realized that it was happening. And so after about an hour and a half, my dad was laying outside of his tent looking up at him. And he told me, he says, well, I'm going back to bed. And I said, how can you sleep? And he says, well, I don't know who they are. I don't know what they're fighting over. And my .270 deer rifle wouldn't reach him anyway. So I'm going to go to sleep. You're going to stay up. Stay up and watch. But he says, count how many of them blow up. And so I was counting them. And I went from 9 o'clock that night, laying there, looking, doing what I could, until 5 o'clock in the morning when the sun started to come up and then I could no longer see them. And I counted over 45 kills and hundreds of crafts going every direction and dogfighting and how their patterns went so that they would come back in another attack. Another group would be head-on runs and passing through each other and breaking to the left and coming into a big circle, tightening the circle, firing beams across from one another. And it was just, it was so amazing that I couldn't believe that it was happening. And I thought, pinch myself, yep, I'm not asleep, I'm not dreaming. And this one friend of mine, Jess, who doesn't want his name mentioned because he owns a winery now and he doesn't want people thinking he's too crazy, he saw it. And my mom and dad saw it. The people in the camp that I yelled and woke up, they saw it. And when we called an Air Force base the next morning from Reno, my dad called and told him what we had saw and what was going on. The first guy put us through and said that would be fine, and I'll put you through to who's handling that matter. And he says there's been a lot of people calling that in. So we get to the number, and the guy acts like my dad's crazy. He doesn't want to hear about it. It's probably meteorite showers. My dad's telling him, no, you're wrong. They don't meteorize, don't fly in circles, dodge and shoot at each other with beams. The guy says, well, you need psychiatric help. And my dad told him he needed a lot more than that. If he could get his hands around his throat, he'd need first aid.
Because the guy, well, now, you guys, you were seeing all this without the aid of the infrared goggles,
without the
right?
night glasses. And it was an extremely clear night. And it looked like they were battling down low. It was very bright, very, very, I mean, these things were just sparkling because you could see the sunlight hitting on them. And if I've seen them in the future now with my vision to where you'll see them bright, and they'll come in closer to Earth, and as they lower and come down, it's like as if they turn off, but what it is, they drop below the sunlight so you can barely see them. When they're up above in sunlight or in space, they glow and shine. At least that one model does. The big ovals and the little ovals shine and bright. But the new ones that have came on the scene probably in the last, I'm going to say 5 to 6 years that I've been seeing, I call them the deltas, and they look like an aircraft that used to fly supersonic between the Earth and that, and the Concorde jet. They look a lot like that, and they fly very high, very fast. They are very maneuverable, and when I've seen them battle with others, I've never seen one of those lose, and they have some really good battle tactics. I mean, I've flown gliders, and I've flown helicopters, I've flown fixed wing, and believe me, these guys know how to fly. It's almost as if they've been to a fighter school. And they have the same kind of moves and maneuvers when they go in.
What happens when they actually connect with each other? Do they explode? I mean, are there pieces that fall to the ground?
Well, when they fire, usually when they start to close the gap, most of the ovals that are fighting, whether they're big oval or a little one, they'll get so close, they'll be traveling at a fairly good speed, like 35, 40,000 miles an hour, the way I guess it, because they're about twice the speed of a satellite. And when they get a certain distance, they start maneuvering and they'll zigzag. And if one fires on the other one, you'll see the beam go past them if they're in the zigzag. And if they're in the wrong spot, it hits them and just blows them up like a powder, like a gunpowder spark on a hot stove or something, just poosh, and they're gone. And if they're in a circle and dogfighting, you can see the sparks and the debris go flying out in an orbit away from them that they're fighting. It's like a spark off of a emery wheel or a grinding wheel flying out into the air. And they're in space, and I'd say the closest I've seen in battling is probably 80 to 100 miles up. And when they blow up, their debris stays in face for a while, and it probably falls in and burns up. And I've never seen one battling in the Earth's atmosphere down low. And I think maybe they don't battle there for a reason, because their debris is going to end up laying around. And there's going to be parts of blown up craft, but when they get hit, it really looks like there's not much. So.
Now, what about escape pods? I mean, do you see like one of these big motherships? Do they give off other ships when they get into these situations, or are the motherships involved in the actual battle?
I don't see the mothership get involved in the smaller battles that are going on, but I don't always see a battle. That's something where you might see one or two battle in a night, or you might see 15 battle if it's really hot and heavy. Some nights you go out and you'll see four or five craft, and they're just cruising up there at about 100, 150 miles up, and they'll turn and they'll move and go across the sky and change directions like they're on patrol. And I've actually seen them a number of times going pretty fast, start slowing up, and then they'll slow up, they will stop, and as they're stopping and slowing up, they start to wobble and move around and like kind of out of balance, or like their gyros are needing to settle in and fix their position. And they'll sit there, and like maybe they're like at a roadside pulled over for a rest stop or something, and they'll just sit there, they're not moving. And then maybe 2 hours later, there's another craft come flying by, and he's just hauling right on by, and they'll zap him with a beam, like as if a snake waiting for a mouse to run by. And it's just so amazing that if I didn't see it myself and haven't studied it, I'd say I was crazy, but I'm not, and I've been seeing it for a long time. I've taken hundreds of people out, and sometimes they see it, sometimes they don't see it as a battle, but they usually see spacecraft. But along with that, you'll see bats, you'll see birds, you'll see hawks and night owls, moths, you'll see these things, and they're all easily identified, and there's a great big difference in them. And even before I take people out, I try to tell them, this is what this looks like, what that looks like. And in process, people understand, and they'll shake their head and smile, and I tell them, this is what a battle happens, and then move this way, and then move that way. And they smile, and they look at me, yeah, you know, this guy's really lost it, you know, but we'll go with him, and we'll look, because we really want to see it if it's there. And so they end up at the Little Lake Field or someplace with me, and maybe within an hour or two, they have seen five or six spacecraft. They've seen hawks. They've seen all these things. I tell them, and they go, well, hey, you're really right. You're an expert at this. And I go, well, I ought to be. I'm probably the leader in this field, and I'm finding out things and the technology, how to find them and film them, and they're there. But they've been there since 1961, so they're here for 42 years that I know of. And they haven't swooped into Earth and blown people up and done these things. So it looks like we have a good force fighting against a bad force, or there's beings out there that are fighting against each other, and they're trying not to involve us. And I can show people a lot of times spacecraft, and their friend will be with them without a pair of glasses, and they'll be saying right up there, and you don't see anything. You can't see it. The other night in Monterey, we had a group, there was probably 60 people showed up in and out of the night, and there was four guys that could really spot them and see things good, and when I told them what to look for, they found it, and they were spotters and then handed glasses off to each other and other people. And so we all went in, it was cold, we went in to have some hot chocolate, and I told them before I left, don't be surprised if you see a battle, that one will come in after another, or they'll chase, and it will fire on it, and it'll blow it to hell right then, boom. Or it'll get wounded, and it'll kind of wobble and go off, and it'll pursue by the one that shot it. It'll pursue it and then finish it off. And you might even see a capsule blow out, and it looks like a strode capsule, and it'll start flashing, and then others will come in and perform a rescue and fly a circle around it, and then one will move in and pick it up while the others fly cover, in case another craft comes in on it. And then I've seen them come in, blow one up, then leave, circle back when the strobe light came on, and as circle it a couple times, look it over, and then blast it again. So I guess that side doesn't believe in taking prisoners or survivors. So it is so unusual. And when I tell people this, like that night in Monterey, I told people that I went in to have a break and let my neck straighten out a little bit from looking up. And a bunch of people went in with me, and they were talking about how amazing it was. They couldn't believe that those spacecraft were there, the things that they saw. They were just, like, rattled by it. And one woman told me she was going to go home and board up all the windows. And I said, don't worry about it. One of those things won't fit through your window unless they knock the whole house down. So, I mean, I try to put a little humor here and there because I'm a funny guy. But it's just that these guys called their friend that was inside having hot chocolate, and then I think there was like six people still outside looking. And four people that had the glasses saw this one come in on another one, chasing it. It fired on it. The other one illuminated, and a big burst of fire, like, or heat came off of it, and then it continued on across the sky for a while, on fire or burning, and then it totally blew up. And they got to watch the whole thing happen for about 7 or 8 seconds. And then the other one turned and zoomed off. And the other one just totally, the second explosion, the secondary, just blew the thing to hell. And they said they could not even see a speck of stuff left off of the secondary. But the first one, they could see the main body burning and flying along. And that was what I had told them, because I easily talk to the people. I tell them, this is what you can think, this is what you can see, then you can think for yourself. I tell them how to look for bats, how to look for birds, wildlife, what it looks like and what it does. I tell them what the moths look like and what they do. And then I tell them, this is what this type of spacecraft looks like. Type A, Type B, and the Delta. And if they see a round oval one that looks like a balloon, they may want to get in their car and leave, because I think that possibly is some kind of induction vehicle, because I've seen it over housing tracks and I've seen it over other areas, and I think that if we do get abducted at night or taken out of our bed, I think that vehicle is used. But I don't know. That's just a thought. Don't everybody run out every time you see a balloon or something, panic, because it's been going on for a long time. And the first time I saw that was in year 2000, and I've seen it four more times since, because I spend a lot of time out looking up and having people with me, and I know what I'm looking for, and when I see it. Now, there's people who have seen bell-shaped objects. There's people who have seen little slender Vs, long tubular type. And, you know, I've seen some of those, but the ones I see mostly are big ovals and little ovals, the ones that are like saucer-shaped, and the one that looks like the Concorde jet. And believe me, if I was a pilot out there, I would not want to be in an oval against a Delta, because they have a better gun range, they can fight farther, they will swoop in, and when the disc is starting to close and the oval's gun range is there, or its laser range is there, before that happens, they accelerate like a flash of light and fire at the same time. So they close the gap quickly, take the targeting off, and have blown the oval up. And believe me, they know how to fight, and they have a good technology. If
well,
I
you
had
see,
to go take a ride in one,
you say these
I'd
are
want to be a Delta pilot.
You say these are up 80 to 100 miles up, and our planes fly at 3 or 4 or 5 miles up. Do you think our aircraft, our military aircraft, see this going on, you know, high above our atmosphere? Are they aware
of
it?
Well, I've talked to pilots that have put in reports that they've seen UFOs, that they've actually seen a battle happen way out in front of them, that was in space when they were flying at 40,000 feet crossing the ocean.
right.
On their way to Australia from San Francisco, and the pilots told me that they both saw it, and that they knew it was real, but they reported it, and they're told, just forget it, the military knows about it, don't worry about it.
Wow.
And this man's a pilot that I've taken deer hunting before, taken him fishing, and he talks a little bit with me, but he says, hey, if I told you exactly what I knew and seen, you might not believe it. And I told him, no, I think I'd believe it. And he used to be in the military. He's flown fighter craft. He's flown C-5As, C-141 tankers. And he got quite high up in the military. And he would talk a little bit with me, but he would not go on a radio show to you or whatever talk, because he'd probably lose his retirement or end up in jail.
Right. They don't want to jeopardize their
career.
I've
got an interview that's going to come out pretty soon of a woman who says that her husband and her and his father were sort of Star Guard pilots for the back in the 50s all the way up until he ended up getting imprisoned. He told them he wasn't going to do it anymore, and he wasn't going to fly the spacecraft anymore, and he wasn't going out into deep space and battle with them, and that he was going to basically just quit where he was and try to be happy, because he had lost one of his friends that would have been like a wingman to him out there in space, and it kind of put him in a shock. So he quit, and they told him he couldn't quit, and he did. And then one of his best friends got murdered with a screwdriver, and they accused him and convicted him and everything, put him in prison for life, and he's still there. The only people that can talk to him is his wife and immediate family. They won't let me go in and interview him. And he can't interview me about when he worked for the American space part, but the international part, he is unable to, talk about it, because I guess they supposedly give their rights up and their life up if they say and tell the wrong things. So,
now, when you say that they were part of the Stellar Guard back in the 50s, are you implying that some of the craft that are flying around up there are from our local neighborhood? They're not all UFOs from other worlds?
Well, let me put it this way. It's only my opinion, and, you know, I'm welcome to my own opinion, but I can't tell you right or wrong. I can only tell you I think this is possible, because I see different craft fight with each other, and I see other craft do not fight with each other, and I see them very far up and very high, and the design of the deltas, I think, is our design, and I think we have modified certain things and got it and made it better than the other spacecraft. And from what I think, not proof, but what I think is that back in 47 and different years with Roswell and different crashes, that we've taken technology and back engineered it and used it, and now we've used the old engineering and the old ideas and modified it, and we're building our own spacecraft, probably someplace under Roswell or down on some air base, and you hear things about tunneling and mining and underground bases. And I'm going to say that I've never been in one of those, but I think they're very possible, and I know people that say they've been there. I know there was a man named Phil Snyder who got murdered, and he was at a UFO show talking, and he had been 17 years mining and tunneling and saying that they ran into a group of graves underground and that they killed 62 of his men. On the mining crew, he killed two graves. They hit him with a laser and burnt part of his hand and a hole in his chest. And our government, when he quit, and they told him, I'm not going to work, I'm not going to tunnel again. Now they said, no, you got it. And he told them to go where and how, and that they were trying to kill him because he was going around talking about it and telling them. And evidently, he had a bad case of suicide something along the lines of shooting or stabbing himself. And I mean, there's times and hanging himself. That I don't know the exact details, but I'd like to talk to his widow sometime and interview her. And anyway, I think that's what's going on. And I got a feeling that people are telling me that this person is this, this person is that, and how corrupt they are. And you know, they might not be too wrong. I mean, it seems kind of like there's something definitely wrong. There's things that are appearing to be pretty shady, and we as citizens need to stand up and find out about those things, because it's the grandchildren, our children, and us that, you know, maybe we're going to be totally controlled or overran. And I think the minute they take our guns away, we're going to find out, and they're working hard at it. And,
well, do you think, Ed, do you think this is battlefield Earth? Do you think we're battling people from another world, or what do you think battle is over up there?
Yeah, I think that there's a battle maybe coming on from outsiders trying to come in or take supplies or take people out. And I can only think that because I don't know it for sure, but I do know that the UFOs are definitely real. There's different types, and they fight, but a lot of times I see them very, very passive, passing each other and maneuvering or kind of wobbling, like as if they're giving each other a high or whatever. And, you know, James Gilliland in Washington, he's seen a lot of UFOs now, but he was telling me that he'd never seen them battle, and it might be possible that up where he's at, there's more of a sanctuary, and maybe that doesn't come in and happen. And there may be zones where they come in and out of Earth or in and out of the ocean, and maybe that part's off limit or those battles are. But I took a pair of night visions, or I took four pair rather, and went to Killerman's Ranch, and there was probably 50, 80 people there two nights in a row. They looked through them and they saw spacecraft and things, no battles. I didn't see any battle. And James looked through them, and he was seeing one go out and make a turn around and go back the other way. And, you know, satellites don't come back and turn around, and they don't make
turns. No, they don't make turns.
No, they don't. And so he liked my glasses so well, I told him I'd help him get a pair. So I located a pair, and he paid me, and I sent them to him, and he's happier than it could be. You know, he would like to have another dozen pair. But he says he sees a lot of craft with them that he couldn't see before, and that he's never seen one battle. But I think he was telling me, I don't understand it completely, but I could be mistaken about part of it, but there was a big golden ship near Mount Adams, and then out of Mount Adams, there was two beams fired, looked like some kind of lasers or light or some kind of particle. And then the other ship moved away and left. Well, I know that he's not crazy because I've seen that kind of thing. But the craziest thing I've seen was about 2 months ago, and people had questions about the chemtrails and what's causing them and how.
Well, hang on a second, Ed. Hold on one moment. Hold on one moment. I want to ask you a question about the golden ship above Mount Adams. You're saying that it beamed something at another ship, or something beamed something at it, and then it moved away?
Well, I think that maybe you could get James to call in on it, but I believe that it was near something, and that from the Mount Adam or the backside, there was some beams came out at it, like a light beam or a particle beam or something, and that it moved and darted and then it moved away. So that something might have been out of the mountain firing.
Oh, so the beam actually came out of Mount Adams.
That's what I understand partially.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I'm totally exhausted now after doing my websites and the radio shows, and I get about 100 people a day calling me, and I've got like 200,000 website hits or something in the last week, and emails and things is just unbelievable. And there's so many people seeking the knowledge that I have that I've been going out the last couple of days and meeting with groups, going to a college and talking and showing people. And it's like a total exhaustion on me. I think that sometimes I just need to turn that phone off.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Let's.
I've had some really, really good, interesting people, and they've had some strange ones. They could be right, but I kind of think they're not. I've had one that's telling me that the spacecraft, like on Star Wars, are fighting over this house a lot, and that he hides under his bed sometimes, and that also things like his neighbor is an alien, and he might want to kill his neighbor because he thinks he's an alien. And so I'm trying to do a little psychological work and say, well, no, don't do that. He could be a good alien, and you'll just get in trouble. And then I have others that are, I'm a beautiful alien lady, and I'm a knockout, and I saw your video. I like your looks and your stamina look and your sincerity and your heritage. You're probably a star child, and I would like you to breed me and have your young. And I'm like, okay, how do I...
Yeah, that gets a little bit out there, doesn't it, Ed?
Well, you know, it could be, but maybe she is an alien. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to give her a little bit of my time and explain to her that I don't want aliens packing my children up, and I would like to be married to the woman who's going to have my children. So, you know, she understood all of it and talked plain and intelligent-like, but yet at the same time, I think that there was a little brain disorder there somewhere.
I understand.
Of course, she had been taking her own medications, but, you know, what I hear about it from different people,
let's go ahead and make sure everyone knows. Let's go ahead and make sure everyone knows the phone lines are now open. We're going to open the toll for U.S. 888-228-4494. Anywhere toll free from Canada, 877-489-6350. And, of course, anywhere else on planet or off planet, you can reach us. If you can get to a cell phone tower, it's 530-776-5154, and if that line is busy, try 5185. And of course, you can reach us using Skype at BBS Radio or PalTalk at BBSRadio_com. We are a member of the BBS Radio Network and also of the STLI Media Network, courtesy of Kevin Smith. We're greatly appreciative of his rebroadcasting of this program. So we are live, coming to you from Eastern Washington State, and our guest tonight is Ed Grimsley. Now, Ed, as we near the top of the hour, we're going to get ready for our second hour. I understand that you have been a researcher for a long time in alternative energies, and we're going to get into that for sure. But I want to make sure that we thoroughly discuss this unique exploration that you're doing, because We heard about you last summer sometime. I guess we were at the UFO conference in San Jose, and we'd heard about you. And so you've been doing this for a while. You've been having people out to your place to see what's going on out there. How, you say your phone's ringing all the time. How widespread now is the knowledge that there is activity going on high above our surface, and the battle is over something? How widespread is that knowledge getting now?
Oh, that is getting spread very wide, because I've had somebody calling me from France. I've had somebody from England. I had somebody from the Soviet Union. They want me to come to Russia. They want me to bring my glasses, talk to their group. And they're basically talking about they would, you know, cover my cost to get there, put me up there, and give me a tour of Russia. And, you know, how exciting is this, you know? I mean, seeing this, sharing the knowledge, and the good feeling that I get while I'm trying to help this, because I have things I can do to help the world. And I'm an old man, I'm getting older, and before I pass, I'd like to leave this a better place than it was when I left it.
Sure.
And my knowledge and my technology and my studies of automotives and technology and energies and fuel productions and compression ratios and all this, and I figured out how I can do a lot of things that would really help this nation and the world and the pollution. And every time I try to go to a government agency or an automotive company, it's like I get so mad I want to beat my head against the wall. And they want to know your knowledge, they want to know what you're doing, how to do it, and then they want to study it, and then they'll own it, and they'll give you what they think it's worth, or they have the right because they spent money on it, to study it, to table it and not use it, and you no longer can do it. So something's kind of wrong with that.
Yeah,
but
I understand. Big companies want your technology, and industrial espionage is certainly an issue that we deal with every day. Before we get to the top of the hour here, you do know that we have like a space station up there, and it goes around the Earth, I don't know, 6 or 7 times a day, and it takes constant surveillance of the Earth underneath it, and this thing orbits at about 240 miles up in space. Have you ever seen the space station come over while this kind of activity has been going on? I know it came over several times last week, directly over the Northwest.
We saw something very big over Monterey last week, and we are a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and the group that was with me, it was so bright and so big, we figured it was the space station. But, you know, other than that, I've never been able to see it parked out there or moving around. So to me, I don't know how it's not seen by me or other people so much.
Well, it came over the Northeast Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of last week.
Yeah, I think Thursday we saw, last week in Monterey we saw that.
Yeah, it would have come over about 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that was about the time that we saw it. People said it's right on schedule or something, but myself, I don't know what it was. It was big, but I have seen spacecraft as big as that, so however big it is, I've seen big and bigger coming over, and I've seen escorts out in front of it, beside of it, behind it, and it looked like a battleship coming by with a bunch of fighter craft sitting out there. So I know that it's going on. I know that it's real. I'm 100% sure about different types of spacecraft, and I'm 100% sure that they fight. I can't tell you what they're fighting over or who they are, but they're there, and they're real. And if people think I'm a little crazy or a lot crazy, that's okay with me. Just don't throw anything at me, and don't expect me to believe that we're all alone in this big universe, because if you think I'm crazy, I'm going to think you're stupid.
Well, do you have a feeling of any kind as to where they might be from, or anybody that's been with you? Have they had any ideas where they might be from, or where they might be based out of here on this planet, or are they based out of the moon, or someplace local?
Well, I've been doing a lot of research, and I got a lot of equipment, computers and search programs and that, and I can guarantee you that back when we went to the moon, that much of that footage is docked up and phony, and I don't know if it's because they couldn't show us the real footage, or if they didn't go, I don't know what took place, but I've got pictures of tools that are supposed to be on the moon, and an astronaut chipping rock away and all that, and on the handle, I found a little small thing, and I zoomed it in, brought it in, and it's a swastika carved, you know, inlaid into the handle, and, you know, that one really tripped me out, but the movie that Jose Escamilla and I are working on, Moon Rising, and now we have a lot of that stuff, and and it's basically we're gonna basically blow the world's mind when they look in our movie when we get it finished and see what's going on. But you know, if I lied to the world, said I'm spending my money on A and B, sold them footage that was turned out to be false, wouldn't I be committing fraud and embezzlement? Well, if NASA did that to the people, how bad would that be? Well, maybe we'll find out.
Wow, that's interesting. Hello? Yes, hello? We have a caller on the line. Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
My name is Rip, and I'm calling actually from Lake Washington.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying the show. It's, I'm learning a lot. And I just had a question for Ed.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
I hope you don't mind, though. I'm going to tell the truth. You might not hear that very often. Anything you ask me, I'm going to tell you.
Okay. Well, my question is, when you see a ship and then you see what you're calling laser fire going from one ship to another, and then this other ship blows up, how do you know that when it, you know, lights up and disappears, that it's actually, you know, being fired on and being pulverized?
Well, let me put it this way. If you lit a firecracker on the backyard fence in the dark, and you lit it and you saw the fuse and you saw the glow and you were a few feet away and then you saw the firecracker go boom, and pieces of paper and debris go flying everywhere in a big flash, you know that your firecracker went off. And when these things get hit, they explode and they go big. And when they do, it's unbelievable. And some of them will get hit with a...
Do you think they could be like getting beamed up or something and going through another dimension or something?
No. I think they're getting blown to hell. There's no other dimension. I mean, it's really happening. It's really there. They're not just leaving and going someplace else. I see some of the debris sometimes that is scattered out just for a split second. And a lot of times I see part of the beam of the laser when it's a real strong one. It hit the craft and some of the flash and the laser.
So, I mean, if there is debris, though, wouldn't you see debris entering into the atmosphere?
Well, I think that what would explain that is we're looking at a battle up there taking place at maybe 40,000 miles an hour, and they're up there maybe 100-150 miles up. And as that material gets blown up, I'm not going to see it falling right here. It's going around the Earth, and if there's a particle of the craft or whatever, it's going to, when it enters the Earth's atmosphere, wherever it's entering at,
But earlier on the show you said that these things are like 80 miles up, and isn't 80 miles already in the atmosphere?
It's at the edge of it. I don't think you're going to fall in right away. But see, my guess, I'm guessing at 80 miles or 100 miles that I see these things flying. But
yeah.
I can tell you that I think they're probably about 100 miles up when they're battling. And that is in space. That's where the satellites can travel around and not get resistance. And the other thing is, you can see them fly overhead, and sometimes you can see them for 5 or 6 seconds. Sometimes you see them for 15 seconds. Depends on the type and the speed they're traveling, or if they're turning and what they're maneuvering. So when this thing gets blown up, if you can see that it's up there, and if it's traveling in a direction, say, 50,000 miles an hour, 40,000 miles an hour, and it's 100 miles up, by the time it blows up in space, the actual debris is going to continue on quite a distance before it starts dropping into our atmosphere. When it drops in, it will then start to burn up, and who knows if it's a piece of an asteroid or a...
Can you two hang around for another 5 minutes while we take a quick break and do some commercials, and then we'll be right back? Can you two hang around?
Sure.
All right. Hang around, Rick, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
Okay.
We'll take about a 4-minute break, and we'll be right back with more of X Squared Radio and Ed Grimsley.
I enjoy you. Your questions are good.
Foundations of Religion and Science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Art of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the press. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. If you have survived a disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. Have you ever thought about owning a telescope? I mean a really good telescope. Well, at the Discovery Store, you can find the world's best telescopes at great discounts and free shipping. They have come a long way, you know. Most of the common discoveries in the last 50 years were found by amateurs. There is no better way to view the sun.
And I did an hour show and I got another hour.
You will be captivated if you ever get to watch the sun through one of these units. Who knows? You
have
just saved the planet. So
planetary. Okay, I'm on the phone.
X Squared Radio.
Hello? Are you there yet?
This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back, your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio. Welcome back to X Squared Radio. We're glad that you're here with us tonight. Tonight we have Ed Grimsley on with us. We're talking about high altitude UFO battles above the Earth. We also have a caller in from Trout, Washington. And we'll get into that much, much more right after this news. Hey, copper hit a record $8,800 a ton on Thursday amid concerns about supply disruption in Chile, where two of Codelco's five divisions have been paralyzed by strike action. State-owned Codelco generates about 10% of global copper supplies. Tin rose 4.1% to $21,600 a ton this week, hitting a record $21,750 on Thursday on concerns about supply tightness after Indonesia formalized an export limit of 100,000 tons for this year.
This news means that there soon may not be such a thing as a third world. The U.S. will no longer have its way with raw materials markets. We have to work to do in the field of renewable resources. And we want you to pick up a new technology company and begin sending them regular money. Yes, it's a tax, but this is voluntary. I mean, would you feel better if government stole it from your check and gave it to their buddies? I guess not. Pick a technology researcher or some small company trying to make a breakthrough in new energy and begin sending them a regular check of a few hundred dollars per year. If we could get a few hundred thousand people to spend half the energy they spend trashing the government and the oil companies and put it toward getting clean, renewable energy sources off the ground, we could win this thing. We could have cheap, free energy that's clean and available for everyone without depending on any foreign provider. Sound impossible? It is most certainly possible. But it is in your hands. So get out your checkbook and find a company you like and put your money where your mouth is. Get it through your head that there is no government out there. It is just a loosely organized coalition of bureaucracies trying to support as many people in Washington as possible. Wake up, people. We have a planet to save. Now, that being said, you energy research companies, send us here at X Squared Radio your contact information and we will set up a web page for you. We will post some guidelines on the page so people can verify that you have real technology. No, you can't claim you have an idea when someone else owns the patent. Yes, you must have some kind of prototype or proof of concept or people aren't going to help you with money. If people want to send you money, then great. If they don't, then you have to keep plugging away with your spare change until you're ready for manufacturing. When you're ready for manufacturing, just contact the people down at Phoenix Science Foundation and they'll work with you to put together a mass production plan. We also want to give you an update. The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 3, is about to come off the presses, literally a week away. And when it comes off the presses, we will have specials for you to pick up all three volumes, or just Volume 3 if you want to do that. And we're working on the audio version of Volume 3 right now, so we'll have that available for you. I know you've been waiting. We want to make sure all the pieces are in place so that we can do the shipping properly, and you'll know what the book is about. It's called Unlocking the Secret. It picks up where the book, The Secret, left off. Many of you who have read the book, The Secret, or have seen the film, The Secret, know that there's a lot more to the story. This is the rest of the story. This book gives you the tools you need to be able to work the law of attraction for the wealth of your life. And we also wanted to give you an update on the North Pole Inner Earth expedition. No further progress has been made on funding this week, but we are speaking with some people who are very excited about it and hopefully will be able to put the deposit for the charter of the ship together very soon. Of course, you know, once that charter is made, everything else changes. Everybody wants to get on the boat then. So stay tuned. We'll, of course, keep you up to date on the latest information right here at X Squared Radio. My guest is Ed Grimsley. He discovered some years ago that he could see, using night vision goggles, high-flying aircraft way up 70, 80 miles above the planet. And it wasn't all fun and games going on up there. You might be surprised to find out that somebody is fighting over terra firma. Welcome back, Ed. Ed, are you still there, or did we lose our guest? Did we lose our caller that we had in Trout Lake? Everybody still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ah, okay, there we go. Now, the last hour we were talking about high-altitude battles over Earth, and this has gotten a tremendous amount of notoriety lately. It takes a while of telling your story, enough places that finally it kicks in. But the awareness that somebody is battling out there over terra firma is quite alarming to people. And people that don't even think UFOs exist now all of a sudden have to face the prospect that somebody is defending us and somebody is trying to get into us. So what are your feelings on this? Who should we side with here?
Are you asking me or another person?
Yeah, whose side are they on? Are they on our side, or are they trying to keep someone else from moving in? Are these the good guys or the bad guys that they're fighting?
Well, I think that there's forces of good or bad up there, and I think they've been fighting over and fighting to protect, and I don't know whose side I'd be on, but they haven't came here and blown my house up yet, so I'm not afraid of them that way, but I'm really curious, and I'd like to know the truth, what's really going on. And I know they've been doing it for 42 years, because I've seen battles 42 years ago, and I don't think we need to run out and panic immediately, but I think we better start getting our earth in shape and getting the things changed around and doing what's right, because I think we might end up getting evicted off of this planet if we don't do what it needs.
Well, what is it that you think we should be doing? What are we doing wrong, in your opinion?
Well, I think we're letting the government get away with doing anything they want with not telling us when we're supposed to be the people by the people. Instead, it's the government against the people. And just shut up and do what you're told. We know what we're doing. Don't worry about us. We're doing what we're supposed to. And, oh, it's a military secret or it's not a secret. Well, if there were aliens or beings that look like us from other planets or wherever trying to get in here and take over, I'd like to know who we're fighting against and what's going on. I'd just like to know the truth. So I can agree and that these things taking place. I know it, but I don't know who's fighting over what. And there's a lot of peaceful action going on up there besides that. And there is probably star people. There is probably aliens. There's probably human beings that look like us or close to us. I hear so much about this that I believe it's possible. And as of right now, I'm not going to tell you that a gray or a little green man or that, because I've never seen a gray or a little green man or a reptilian, but I see spacecraft flying around and I know there's things going on and somebody's got to be doing it. I don't think we're up there fighting ourselves.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You're kind of covering all the bases, and that's good. I was going to ask you, do you think well, it goes without saying that our military probably knows more than they're disclosing to the public, but do you think our military is involved in this high-altitude activity above the Earth and they're just not telling us about it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that. I've got an interview that's going to be in our movie, Moon Rising, and the wife of a pilot is telling her husband's story. And when you swear to that you're going to be secret and do that, if you give out information, you're going to either end up dead or you're going to end up in prison or they'll make you look like you're crazy and no one will pay attention. And her husband, I think his name's Mark, he spent 25 years in prison. She's trying to get him out. She's trying to free him because he was pretty much framed up for murdering his best friend, who may have, I don't remember the story, but he may have been a pilot too that quit. Said, okay, we're not going into space anymore. We're not going out there real deep and battling with anybody. We've had enough. That's it. And they told him, you don't quit. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it's like joining the mafia. You don't get to retire. You just get to be an old mafia boss.
Well, I hate to get back to this good guy, bad guy thing again, but I get the feeling that you don't think that if they're from the government, they're here to help us. Maybe this government, I don't know if it's our government or a government made of a coalition between several high-tech nations, but some group here on the Earth may not be the
good guys, and maybe it's the good guys that are trying to get down here to help us, and they're preventing them from coming in. Or maybe there have been bad guys here for a long time, and now the guys are here to save the day. What have you been hearing? You have these groups from time to time that come out and look through the glasses. You know, not all of them have no feeling about this. Some of them have an opinion. What are you hearing?
I get a lot of opinion. Some of it I think is pretty good. Some of it's pretty close to what I think. And some of it's way out there, and they need to go seek help. But it's just a situation where I believe, in my own mind, there's several possibilities. And one possibility is that we were all created, we came from different corners of the galaxies, and that's why one man is black, another one is brown, and there's an Irishman, a Mexican, an Indian, a Chinese. And I think that we may have got brought here by starships, put on planet Earth, wiped out our memory of who we were and what, and said, okay, let's get along, let's survive, let's prove you can do it here on Earth, and then maybe we can start doing it in space. And are we fighting out in space? That's one possibility. The other one is maybe this is a sanctuary, and if some planet gets wiped out or they lose life, there's some more of them here on Earth that are in the form of an African or Chinese, an Irishman or whatever, and they'll load some of them back up, and they slip us out, and we go and we restock the planet again. It's like having a fish farm and the dam breaks, you bring in some more fish. And Earth has been destroyed many times, and there's proof of it. And it's just like, you can't take everything with a grain of salt. A bush grows a certain way, a tree, and the leaves turn, and there's all these scientific things that take place. Every molecule on this Earth does certain things, and gravity certain. So I don't think it just lucked out and happened. So I think we were created. Where were we created at? I don't know. Did we come about from other planets? And I hear things that people say, well, you know, the Greys, a lot of them live under the Earth, and they have captivity chambers, and they keep humans in them. If you go down there, you can hear them calling for help and screaming, and they're raping beings, and they're doing all these things. And yet, I say, well, that's possible, but I don't know if they're eating us or part of the diet, but we eat fish, we eat chicken, we eat pig, we eat cow, and maybe we're somewhere just a little bit below the alien lives that are on the food chain. And I don't know, you could tell, what if some alien said, well, hey, how do you feel tonight? Let's go have Mexican, or let's go out to Chinese. Or go get some Chinese or something. I mean, this is like a little joke, but what if it's real? And what if people are really here as part of the food chain? And we get harvested and we turn up missing 100,000 here, 100,000 there. What if there are breeding chambers under the Earth that we get taken in and bred and used for food? If they're more intelligent than us, maybe we're like the pioneers were, or they, like the pioneers were. We came here in our covered wagons, and we brought our chickens and our pigs and our things, and we released them out on the farm, and we raised them as part of our food. Well, maybe they're doing something like that. This is some of the theories I've heard. But I can't agree on these a lot of things, but I can say it's possible. And I'm not closing my eyes, because if I wanted to be blind and deaf and not hear and see and think, then I'd be dead. And I was dead before, because I died in an operation on a Kaiser hospital table, and I died three times. I went into a dark bubble and was in a spiritual world, made it back, and I'm not anxious to do it again. But life and death is part of the whole function of being here, and while we're here, we better start doing what we can to do the right thing and do good things, because who knows when it's going to end? I mean, death doesn't serve a notice. I mean, I've seen people in the crosswalk and try to move from one car and get hit by another. And you just don't know. You just don't know.
Do you think as a human race we're doing a good job?
I think as the human race there's some of us doing a good job, some of us doing a bad job, and some doing nothing. And I think that I've done things that made me really feel good. And what I'm doing now, I'm really tired, I'm exhausted, I'm talking to people. I opened up my phone to people and said, here it is, look on the website, tell me what you think. Hear me, look at me. I want to build things, I want to help the energy people, I want to help planet Earth. And the only way I can communicate is that way. And it's driving me up the wall. I'd like to have phone calls come in between 9 and 9, 1 in the morning, 9 at night. And none of those 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and tell me that there's aliens on your roof and you're going to shoot through the roof. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things happening that I have to deal with. And I have to think, what is the good that I'm doing? And if I wear myself out and drop, I might not do any good, but at least I've started it. And there are spacecraft. What's in those spacecraft, I don't know. I'd like to find out. But if I was Paul Revere and I never waved the lantern and took the ride, we'd probably be speaking English, not slang. And so if I know this is going on and I see it, I need to let the world know. And if they don't want to believe me, that's up to them. But they need to get the glasses, they need to go out, they need to look and see for themselves. Then you don't have to ask me. You don't have to take my word. Think for yourself. That's why you're given a brain. Think for yourself.
Do you think that the human race is evolving to the point where we're ready to join this community of space travelers, or do you think that we're doomed to be...
I really believe that some of us are ready and have been for a long time, and I think some of us are ready to get zapped because we only care about party time and getting messed up and seeing what you can steal from your neighbor, you know. And I think that's a moral issue that's been going on ever since man came about. And unless we do something to increase our morals, our benefits to one another, and help the animals, help the planet, and help each other, I think we're going by the wayside. I think we're going to get sapped, or in some way we're going to get evicted from planet Earth, or there's going to be another generation or another type of being come in that may be similar to us, but smarter, and they're going to come back and take the planet back. And that might be what's going on. Maybe they're wanting to come back in and give us some good information and say, look, this is the way it is, you guys need to straighten up. And maybe ones who have found technology and found power and are making millions of dollars doing what they're doing, maybe they want to keep us in the dark. And maybe they're
I don't know that that's the case anymore. Since 1996 and the internet, and now there's internet all over the world. I've been in several third world countries that have internet cafes going. The knowledge that's being disseminated around the world is allowing these countries, even regions of third world countries, to blast out into the world of high technology. And now we have China, we have India, we have Pakistan, we have some of, you know, the areas of Africa that are really beginning to progress. And they're using up raw materials, they're using oil and tin and copper and uranium, and they're coming of age. And they're now leaving the ranks of hunting and gathering behind, and they're really starting to use energy and use technology. Maybe the fact that intelligence and knowledge and libraries of study and history are being spread around the world, maybe we have a chance of beating this thing if we're intelligent about it. Hopefully the other nations don't need to go through an industrial revolution of pollution like we did. Maybe they can learn from our mistakes and start where we left off.
Well, you know, I agree with that. I think that this high price on fuel, instead of just going on and polluting at the rate we are, I think they're making a lot of money on us. But I think it's forcing us to get moving and start thinking, looking for better ways.
Exactly
and,
right.
If we could
exactly
make our automobiles go at half the gas cost and half the gas price, then there's going to be a lot more fuel available. Maybe they'll want to sell it at a cheaper price so they don't have a tank full waiting to ship out to the public.
Well, don't you think the idea is to stop burning petroleum as a fuel, use it for what it was used meant for, a raw material for plastic and things that last a long time, instead of just burning it like we would burn wood? You know, make a table out of it instead of burning it. You're doing some exploration into new energy technologies. Do you have a better idea for generating electricity than burning coal and spinning a turbine?
Oh yeah, I've got things I've worked on and want to work on, but it's like anything else, it takes money to do anything. And if you go to the people that are already making big money and they're doing plan A, they're not going to help you to put plan B in effect, because you might end up putting them out of business, or you'll make the money and they don't. So you go out and you look for help, and you basically don't get any, and basically anything you do get is they're trying to find out what you can do and how they can get their hands on it and stay in control. And, you know, that doesn't fit for making the world better. It fits for making somebody's pocketbook better. But, you know, it's just like I've gone to congressmen, I've gone to senators, and I took this one flashlight and I took force field magnetics and I did an experiment with it, and I was able to have this little flashlight burn for 15 months nonstop. And I thought how great this is. I'm going to basically get this over and show this to a congress lady that I know that's in my area. So I got a meeting with her, and I wanted to show her the light. She said, you didn't want to see it. Take it out and market it someplace, make money with it. She had no interest in it. I said, but this is a way we can make energy and do it and will help our people in your district and other people's districts. She said, I'm not interested. Market it professionally. Do that. And I said, would you be interested in seeing some video of UFOs and how you can see UFOs? And she says, no, I don't care about UFOs now. And at about that time, I thought, what does she care about? You know, and she only spent like 5 minutes with me and kind of shined me off. Well, I'm glad I'm not in her district, because I wouldn't be voting for her.
Yeah, I've heard similar stories. It seems that the way our Constitution is set up, Congress people have to run and win an election every 2 years. Now, if you've ever done any kind of fundraising, you know that you don't wait 11 months or 12 months to start fundraising for something that's going to happen 2 years away. You start today. And so the instant a congressman gets elected or a congresswoman gets elected, they have to go into campaign mode and start raising money right away for the next election. So maybe
the day you win, you got to start planning for the next one.
Right, right. So maybe we need to make a little adjustment in our time schedule for the length of terms of Congress. Maybe we need to change it to 4-year terms instead of 2-year terms, and then maybe we could actually get 2 years of work out of them.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, one of the things I'm trying to do is start this thing, Citizens Alliance, where, like, the NRA buys membership, and that money supports to stand up for your gun rights or the people and the rules and things. And I want to get the Citizens Alliance going so that we can stand up in our city and our counties and our states and our federal level, petition the courts, petition the Congress to go for the needs of us, the people, and not what they do and what they want. And you vote for them, you put them in office, and they do exactly what you didn't want. So this is why I think we need a Citizens Alliance, to where we'll have alliances where people will be members in the county level, city level, keep an eye on the government, find out where the money's at, and basically fill in petitions and do lobbyists in behalf of the real citizen, and not what the congressman or the senator says. And I think that you and I get pulled over on the highway, and we get breath analyzed, or we come through a road stop check, and we get tore up pretty good, and sometimes our car is sitting there with our seats out of it, and that may well cake. go on your way, have a good day, and they leave you with your seat out of the car and the spare tire out of the trunk and things, and you're in clean clothes, you got to load that stuff back in. Now, I don't think that's good. I don't think it's justifiable. Now, if they can do that to us, then I think we ought to be able to take officer, have people that are a physician from Citizens Alliance, have credentials, and walk up to a policeman sitting on the corner or waiting at a stop for traffic. Say, excuse me, officer, but I'd like you to blow in this and see if you've been drinking or anything. This is a random check. And tomorrow morning, would you please report at a certain location when the Civil Alliance is going to give you a urine test to see if you do any drugs at home? Because when we get a case where some teenage kid or some mother gets shot in the back and then falls over and she's laying on the floor gurgling and gasping and they put two more rounds in her chest and then they say, well, I feared for my life, it was justifiable. And then they investigate that killing and their division does it and they let time go by and then they investigate and say that it was justifiable. We found that the officers weren't guilty and blah, blah. Well, you know, why don't we let the bank robbers investigate their own crime and put themselves on trial? I guess there's some reason for that. So I think that the Citizens Alliance should be formed, and we should have detectives and investigators work. Whenever there is a shooting, we send our unit out, we have them look at it, and we give the grand jury our version of what our findings are, and we publicize it. We don't wait 6 months or a year to do it. And if you're a senator or a congressman and you leave and you go out to lunch and you've been drinking at lunch and having a few glasses of wine and having things go, and you go to get back in the Congress area or the Senate area, I think you should have to blow in that little tube to see that you're still sober enough to go in there and make the laws of land and do accountable things. They wouldn't hire us to work for them and drink and carry on. And they shouldn't be working for us doing it. Now, all you senators,
well, I understand where you're coming from.
If it's fair for the goose,
I understand where you're coming from. I don't think I would want to be a member of law enforcement because I don't think personally I could do it. But law enforcement in this country is designed to police only 2% of our population. 98% of the people obey the law spontaneously. They never have to be told to. They can figure it out on their own, and they can obey it. But the other 2% are pretty bad people. And in case,
and what they do affects us and makes us.
We're at war. We are at war. Do you know, I read in the New York Times the other day that Baghdad was ranked as the safest major city in the world. The safest major city in the world. Had less deaths by gunshot than any other city in the world. Now, that's pretty amazing.
Maybe that's because they're using roadside bombs.
Yeah, well, even those deaths don't even come close to the deaths in Chicago every year. We have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Hey, this is Jose Escamilla.
Hey, Jose, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Brooks?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm so glad you could call in. I guess you know who we have on the radio with us.
I'm so glad. I went out to dinner, and I told you earlier I was going to have to go out to dinner. Went there earlier so I could come back in time at least to do the last half hour or something, or be on your show. But how you guys doing?
Fantastic. Oh, we're doing great. We were talking about the UFOs high above the U.S., and then Ed started talking about his Citizens Alliance, and is that what it's called, Ed? I'm sure I messed up the name.
Well, Citizens Alliance. I've got a little thing on my website there, worldwideweb.edgrimsley.com.
Well, you know, I got to say one thing. I'm kind of a proponent of this type of change in America. Anyway, I think something has to happen because, you know, for the last however many years that the neocons have been in office, you know, they're telling us what we need instead of us telling them what we want and them, you know, doing what they're supposed to do. I mean, we've afforded them the luxury of being, of working for us. I mean, aren't they supposed to be working for the people? in the first place.
Yes, they are. That's what we elect them to do.
They're also supposed to be telling you the truth, and they don't.
We've got a renegade dictator out there that's signing, you know, directives and things that are just taking our rights away from us, and that's not right at all. We need to get that boy out of office. That boy needs to go back to Texas.
I
go her cattle like he was destined to do, because he ain't doing anything for us Americans, man.
Well, I understand your frustration, but you got to see what he's faced with. You know, we have an insurrection going on in this country right now, and there are some really bad people that have access to stuff that we have access to. Fuel depots, electronic power plants, nuclear power plants, and they want to kill us. So the government has to figure out some way of stopping these people. And you got to find out what they're doing. And these are smart people. They know how to work our laws. They know how to work our freedoms. And they walk among us every single day. And before too long, they're going to do something really terrible. And we have to stop them.
Now, from what I understand, and this is straight up. You know me, Brooks. I'm a straight up kind of guy. I tell it like it is.
I expect
the United States of America is a corporation, correct?
Sure it is.
It's a private corporation owned by who? Who owns it? Obviously, the American people don't.
No, probably a handful of wealthy energy barons, I'd say.
Okay, now, let me ask you this. What if another corporation was set up that all of us Americans signed up with? Because if that's a corporation, and corporations are popping up a dime a dozen everywhere in the country, we could set up our own corporation, correct? Have our own bylaws, our own laws, our own Congress, our own senators, our own president, right?
Yeah, it's called secession.
Okay, well maybe that's what needs to be done, to send a message to the people that are have ordered our government to where they, you know, they're ruining America, they're ruining what we stand for, you know? And maybe that's what needs to be. Maybe that's what needs to happen when you get our own corporation of America set up.
Well, that's exactly what I'm trying to do, and set people
and do a takeover.
So can
do it. Let's do what Bill Gates does do every day.
Thing in the world, in this country, a takeover is the easiest thing in the world, and our Constitution is set up for it. Nobody can tell me that you can't find a new set of 435 men and women to replace every elected official in Washington. 435 people could be flushed in two elections, and you could have a completely new set. It's all up to us.
And it's perfectly legal, correct?
Of course.
Okay. So if we set up our own corporate America, and 300 million people, Americans, 300 million or however many we have in this country, they all sign up to the new America.
We've already signed up. We have the right
country.
To vote. All you got to do
is
the ballot
signed
and elect
up to
a new person.
Brooks, we've signed up to vote. We haven't signed up to get a piece of the action. Remember, Bush and them are making a mint off the oil and off of the war effort. They get paid, man. Where's our share? Where's our cut?
Oh, I understand. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
You know, the thing is, if we make some money...
Don't stop me on Scientology, please.
No, not at all.
You tell him, Jose.
Well, anyway, Brooks, listen, I just wanted to call in for a little bit and say hi to you guys. And, you know, I got to say something about Ed Grimsley. I met this character, and he is a character. Believe me, there's no one on the planet like this guy. I will never, Dr. Roger Deer is the one that introduced me to Ed, and I will never forget that time. But the thing is, Ed's a good guy, and you know what I like about Ed is he brings the goods. When he tells you, I'm going to show you how you can see UFOs, he delivers the goods, okay? I've seen them. I mean, I've had the night vision glasses on. Me and Jeff Ferris went out with him over here to a place called Gravity Hill. And sure enough, man, the stuff is there. So if people want to see UFOs, man, Ed Grimsley is the way. And I'm just got to give the guy props. You know, he's gone out there and he's doing it. And you know, Brooks, you know, you and I are on the same level too. We we do the do. We don't mess around. We tell you something, we want to follow through, and that's just the way it goes. But, you know, one thing I got to say about Ed Gridley, I give him props for doing what he's doing. Nobody's done it before, and, hey, I'll help out any way I can, you know?
That's all we ask. That's all we ask. And awareness, information in people's hands so they could say, wow, I never knew that was happening. And maybe their awareness comes up and they get a little bit more involved and they start caring more about one another and about the planet. And that's the way we want to go, right, Ed?
It's definitely the way I want to go. And, you know, if I'm doing something good, or like when I was teaching kids in Fiji how to play baseball in Little League, or putting water lines in villages, when it was rainy and wet here and I couldn't build my construction work, I was over there doing things. And, you know, it feels good to do good. I won't say it feels as good as sex, but it's damn close. And, you know, and you can do good things for hour after hour, and you can't. Well, I can't. Maybe Jose can. But it's a good thing. And when you're doing something good, you feel your best. And when you people saying, hey, I've been looking for somebody to tell me the truth for a long time, and you're telling the truth. I can see it. I can feel it. And I say, well, then join my club. Let's look at the truth. Let's keep going. And I don't know, but like the Letterman show has asked me to come on, and I'm more than willing. And I want to get the truth out to the people. And if I can do some good and make a bunch of money and get some money and build a product that can help our world or save our gas or recycle our unburned gas instead of throwing 75% of it away, I know how to make it work again, some of it. I know how to make electricity in ways that's been done, make the car really efficient. And, you know, I can't get in the way to the oil companies or the automobile companies because it'll get tabled and put away. So I give up on that idea. I've beat my head on the wall too many times. And when you can't even get the door to see an executive of a motor company or say, give me 5 minutes on the phone, then there's something wrong with this world. And it's all their way or the highway. And we need to put people back in power. We need to have the people getting what they need. And I've talked at a school, a college, and I've told them about my feelings on this. And then later, I get a phone call, and he knew somebody that knew one of the politicians that's running for president. And he says, it's too bad they wouldn't ask you to run with them for vice president. I know we could save the world. And I says, wait a minute, don't tell nobody that I want to be the vice president. It's either the president or nothing. So I'm a little humor, but, you know, we need to do good. And there's enough evil going on that if we don't stop, we're going to be taken over by either bad things, bad air, bad pollution. And I think that what's flying around out there could be keeping a real close eye on us. And if we don't start doing better things, I think we're going to get kicked right off the planet.
Hey, and I got to say something. You
sure.
Know, Brooke,
yeah.
You know what kind of a small planet we live on? You know, when it comes to UFOs and the hollow earth and, you know, Ed's night vision stuff. Ed actually met a gentleman who, I don't know if he told you the story. Did he mention this earlier?
He met a gentleman that actually came
from the inner earth.
Oh, the guy that I gave a ride on the motorcycle?
Did he tell you about that, Brooke?
No.
I talked about it earlier.
Oh, okay. I wasn't on the radio earlier, but here's the thing, man. You know, with your expedition, Brooks, that's going to take place, and we're going to see you through it. I mean, Ed is working on stuff, I'm working on things, and one way or the other, we're going to see you go through your expedition. I want to be there. I want to go to the polar regions. I want to see the hollow earth. I know it's a real deal. I've always been a proponent of it, you know. And one way or the other, we're going to pull it off. But, you know, the fact that it does exist and it's a reality. I've seen things, Brooks, that prove it. I mean, I'll put it to you that way. And I can't go into describing what I saw because I promised somebody I wouldn't. It's supposed to be kept top secret. But I've seen evidence. I'll put it to you that way.
Well, that's good.
Reveal. We're gathering. The Hollow Earth opening big time, bigger than what we've known.
Yeah,
it's been about.
Jose's better on
it. It's going to happen. I can't wait. I'm going to be on that boat with you, man. I'm going to be on that ship. I'm going to go down there with
right.
you.
That's right. We're not going to leave without you.
So
we won't leave
without you. It's got to happen.
Tell
us
about
know
the
well.
Movie you're doing, Jose, that I'm helping you on. That's going to rock the world.
Yeah, tell us about the film you guys are working on.
Well, I'm doing a movie. Ed's coming as co-producer, and we have a film called Moon Rising, and we're showing some of the most amazing moon anomalies, bigger than what anybody ever thought. And I just ran across some stuff yesterday that's totally turning my motion picture documentary into a total new reality of what I was producing. I mean, at first I was just producing a thing on the moon anomalies, but now it's taking a different turn. And I can guarantee you the moon flights were all fake. Guaranteed, hands down.
Really?
And on top of that, Disney was involved. We've got Wernher von Braun, Walt Disney Studios. We've got things on the moon's surface that when you see the stuff that's compiled, you're just going to go, no way, Jose. You know?
Yeah. How's that? How was that?
The whole saying, no way, Jose. I'll tell you right now.
I mentioned earlier about the swastika on the tool handle of NASA.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's nothing. I mean, that's one of the things.
I know. I didn't mention anything.
Please don't mention the good. There is some stuff, Brooks, and this film that we're doing that's just going to rock the world, man. And a lot of people at NASA, are just going to have to come face up and confess, okay, we faked it because of this, and this is what we airbrushed out. I mean, how do you call it? There's a coming up and or something like that. A day of reckoning.
The bottom line is we did go to the moon, but we didn't tell the whole story.
Yeah, we did go, but then we didn't. We didn't go when we said we did, and we finally did go. And when we did get there, we weren't welcomed, and we haven't gone since. And it's going to be another 10, 20 years before we go there again. And it's a hell of a story, but it's all real. It's the reality.
What are they doing about the Chinese and Japanese high-resolution scans of the moon's surface right now? That
Thank you. There's
around.
Nothing that we can do about it. They're going out there, and they're delivering the goods that NASA didn't. I mean, China and Japan are not partial to NASA's BS, all right? They're not on the same payroll. So they're releasing stuff, and they're not even pointing it out. Look, that's a tower that's 9 miles tall. They're not even saying a word. They're just presenting the footage and letting us take it from there. So absolutely, man, I love it, you know. And there's nothing we can do about it. What are you going to do, bomb China to keep them
yeah.
going to the moon?
Well, I was wondering when those high-resolution shots were going to be made public because...
I've been downloading them, finally. I'm downloading some high-resolution stuff. I've even been talking to the Japanese scientists. Did you know that the Japanese premier and the scientists are afraid that we may be getting invaded or attacked from alien beings on the other side of the moon? They've made a total public statement about that.
Wow.
After what they've seen. So
I'd sure like
there's
to
a lot of stuff
interview.
Coming up. Huh?
I'd like to conduct that interview right here on X Squared Radio. That's a great story.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I will get you the Prime Minister of Japan and also the scientists that have been seeing what's on the other side of the moon. And, yeah, if you can talk to them, I mean, you know, get a Japanese translator, but they've gone public.
Wakarimashita.
Yeah,
why would they say something like that unless there's something...
Watashi wa kono shigotogasuki desu.
I think that part of our money that's getting spent supposedly on one project is building spacecraft to fight off invasion, and we're not being told about it.
Well, we're
Hello?
Here to tell the story, my friends. We are going to break it. I was talking to the author of the Roswell story, and he and his co-author are about to open the warehouse where the Roswell craft are being held. And they're going to break the story right here on X Squared Radio.
Awesome. That's great.
So there's a lot happening, and we're in a very unique position, the three of us. We're all Earth explorers. We're seeing things, we're reporting things, and we're trying not to be too crazy about it so that the average general public person will listen. So we just want to keep carrying the torch until the world is enlightened. You know, you were mentioning earlier, Ed, that there's a lot of evil going on out there. Well, evil has an allergy, and that allergy is light.
So let's shine a lot of light out here on things and give them an allergic reaction.
Brooke, I want to give you a little bit of trivia on me. Back in 1985, 86, I was invited by President Aquino at the Philippines to perform a song I wrote called One Minute of Peace.
Uh-huh.
And I was hosted by none other than Ken Snell, who was one of the people with the Hollow Earth Society.
Wow.
Have you ever heard of that name, Ken Snell?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, he was one of the main founders of the Hollow Earth Society. I stayed at the MacArthur Hotel, which was owned by a Lord Monahan, and Ken Snell met me there, and he was one of the guys from the Hollow Earth Society, which I have the original letterhead from Ken Snell inviting me, you know, to stay at this particular hotel. His daughter was married to a Filipino director there, a very famous director. I did a movie there while I was there, and met a lot of people, and, you know, I love the Philippines. What can I tell you? And I was just recently on a Philippine TV show. This last Saturday I was interviewed about the rods phenomenon. They barely had a major rods sightings there in Cebu, in Manila. But this brought me back to Ken Snell. Unfortunately, Ken Snell passed away a few years back. But that's how far I go back in the history of the Hollow Earth Society. I was
wow,
an honorary member.
Jose is so old, he actually helped build the hole.
What's that?
I said, you're actually so old, you helped dig the hole.
Well, you know, one of the things about the Philippines is there are caves there that go so deep in that I'm not surprised if there are, you know, entrances. You know, they go deeper in. So, I'm with you, Brooke. What can I tell you, man?
You know, going talking about strange marine life, the last 2 weeks, there have been two different sightings of a strange sailfish that has landed, actually beached itself, off the coast of Oregon. Now, it's really weird to see one of these fish. They're very, very rare. They're known as being a bottom fish, a fish that goes way, way deep. Both of these fish were males. But to see two separate fish in a two-week period off the coast of Oregon leads us to believe, and by the way, these normally exist only in tropical waters, and if you have been in the Northwest recently, it is anything but tropical up here. To see these two fish this close together in these kinds of waters leads me to believe that somewhere along the way, tropical waters and Arctic waters are being mixed. Maybe an opening in the crust.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing. Now,
you've heard of that?
Go ahead.
There's a lot of truth to that. I think that there is crossing of streams and cold water, hot water, and maybe even passageways from within the earth opening into the sea. And now things are coming out from inside and traveling outside. And that's why sometimes we find pale-looking fish, and they're blind. They've been looking in the dark or in a cave.
You see, Jose, we're not the only ones to think this.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people out there that know stuff. Up in Mount Kanoktai, near Clear Lake, there's caverns inside the old volcano. And the Indians have rumors about going in there and getting fish that were albino and blind because they've never seen daylight in the caverns in the caves. I scuba dived sometimes back and tried to find the entrances. Probably good that I didn't put myself in a cave and drown. But It's just that there is so many things going on, and we need to all open our eyes, and we need to.
Pretty amazing stuff, man. I've got to tell you. Well, anyway, guys, I'm going to have to sign off. I just wanted to call in and wish you well. Brooks, I'm always wishing you well, my friend. You're the pioneer. You're the guy that's going to do it, man. We're going to go to the openings of the earth and bring it all to the forefront.
We appreciate
you. I'm going with you. Count on me.
Thanks so much. We won't leave without you.
All right, man. You better not. And Ed, I'll talk to you later, my friend.
Okay, call me in a while.
You guys have a good night. God bless everybody. Bye.
All right.
Thanks,
thank
Jose.
Thanks, bye.
So, Ed, tell me just, we have about 3-4 minutes left. Tell us what your website is and how people can get involved with your Citizens Alliance.
Yeah, I'm going to be putting more stuff up to the Citizens Alliance and having Jose help me, because the guy is great on websites and how to do it. And basically, you go to www.edgrimsley.com. And you'll find my web, and there's information there. There's some pictures of some UFOs. Look it over real good. There's sections, and if you just hit it one way, you don't get to see the other. So punch in different programs and things and see the interviews with people that I've taken out, and I've showed them UFOs, and I've changed their life. And as of right now, in the last year and a half, there's about 400 people I've showed, and not one of them saying you're wrong. There's a fireman in my town, and I probably shouldn't mention his name, but he came out, he looked, said he was going to spend an hour, he looked, and he saw and counted and saw the things, different types, different shapes, and instead of going home from 8 o'clock until 9, he came at 8 o'clock and left about 2:30 in the morning and saw over 80 craft.
That sounds like it was very interesting.
And, you know, if you want to do something for your country and do something for the people, get involved. Let's get it going, because it's tired of having them tell us what to do, when to do, and how to do it. But the whole thing is, we sign their checks and they do what they want. And you vote and they do what they want. And they're making more rules and more ordinances. And if you get 2,000 rules and ordinances and laws a year put on you, that's a lot of laws. And they say ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, when do you have time to study a law when you got that many laws? You got to go out and make a living, you got to work, you got to feed your kids, you got to make payments, pay your taxes. I mean, you need to stand up and work it out so that we can unite and we can have lawyers and staff that will stand up for our citizens and not turn their back on us once they get in office. And we'll all have territories. One situation where if you're in Idaho and there's so many counties in Idaho, we can have citizen members there. They can get it together, have their meetings. They can vote it in. They can have their representatives come to where we will have our main office, and we'll have a president of the alliance, vice president of the alliance, and every state will have its governor of the alliance. And we will talk to the politicians, we'll see what they do, what the people want, and we'll make sure that we are the people, by the people. They're the conquerors, they're put in office, they're there, but stop doing the wrong thing, stop doing what we don't want. And that's the only way that we're going to get it to turn around. And if not, then you need to go put your head back in the ground, put your head where the ostrich does, and hide until it comes down to where it gets so bad that nobody can handle anything, and it's against the law to do anything at any time. They can arrest you, tax you, take your home, do anything you want, and you need to stand up so that you can be counted and stop being sheeple and turn around and be people. Get yourself back in order.
Well, maybe ignorance of the law is no excuse, but does that mean ignorant lawmakers are an excuse?
No, but they have a lot of excuses. And that's why we need to, when they go into that lawmaking room, that Congress, wherever they're going, they need to blow in that breath analyzer and find out they haven't been partied with the diplomats and the people that are doing it. We need lobbyists for the people and our assistants and our rights. When you go to court and you have a ticket that you ran a stop sign, and they tell you, post $280 and you can have a trial. And you say, what? I'm innocent until proven guilty. Yeah, but you can't have a trial until you put up the money. And if you're guilty, we keep the money. And if you're innocent, you get it back. And that's going on a lot. And they're doing that. Well, I never voted.
Yeah, it's just a speed tax anyway.
I never voted that way.
It's just a speed tax anyway. I don't know what to do about it, but if you're going to drop it outside the confines of the law.
Don't get me wrong, though. We need officers of the law. We need things to go on. We need protection, but they need to work for us and not beat us, not do the things that is wrong. And I'm sure that I would not want to be a policeman. I wouldn't want to go out and have to carry a gun and patrol people and do the things that they have to do. It's a dangerous job. And I see they got stress, and I can see they can get irritated, and I can see they'd be upset. But if some of them are taking steroids to make them stronger and do the job better, and they're hotter tempered or whatever, then we need to know if they're taking steroids. We need to test our policemen randomly, like our senators. And, you know, maybe we'll find out there's more problems going on than we know, and that's why we're getting some stupid laws.
Well, it's not the highest paying job in the world, and they certainly can get a bad attitude after a couple of years on the job. And besides, when you do catch the bad guys and you bring them to court and the lawyers let them go, where's the fun in that?
Oh, I'm going through that right now. I'm going through that right now. And it's pathetic. And I think that we, again, need to stand up, be counted, unite, be citizens, and get in an alliance that you can pull together, put money forward and do that. And the other thing is, what if the citizens all got together and before long the Citizens Alliance could buy a gas station or two gas stations or three, or they could put a business into effect that the income of it would go back to the citizens? I don't know.
And
crazy
then they could
idea.
Just sell biodiesel, and then we wouldn't have to
yeah,
buy
they
it
could
from
sell
foreign
that biodiesel.
Companies at all. Ed, it has been a complete pleasure having you on the program. And I know you're tired getting 90 phone calls a day, but we appreciate you coming on the program and sharing your time with us. And we'll have this posted later on this evening, and hopefully tomorrow people will come in and be able to hear Ed Grimsley and his story of high-altitude activities going on above the Earth.
Yeah, and if they don't understand it or know it, I want to tell you, if you start looking with night vision, you're going to see birds, you're going to see bats, you're going to see moths, you're going to see these things. But when you keep looking and understand and see what's what, you'll see the things that I'm seeing as well. And they're out there. They're happening. And we're being lied to. We are told there's no UFOs. There's nothing going on. Well, believe me, there's a lot going on, and it's intensifying. From what I saw 5 years ago to what I see now is way more than it was before.
Oh, it's really increasing, isn't it?
And I believe there is people that are one type that maybe visit this planet and come through dimensions and do things such as a lot of people talk about, and that are close to the UFO world and other people. And I think there's a lot of good things, but I know there's a lot of bad things. And why they're fighting, I'd like to know. What they're fighting over, I want to know. I want to know the truth, and I'm tired of being lied to by the government, who is saying there's no UFOs. When I see a big satellite sitting there, and I see three Delta spacecraft flying very close to it, and they're doing twice the speed of the satellite, and they're just cruising routinely. And the satellite's flying 23, 25,000 miles an hour. So these guys are on patrol doing 40 or 50. And they can accelerate so fast that you can barely see them leave.
Sounds fascinating. I wish we had more time, but we are out of it. So we'll have you back on the program very, very soon. All right, Ed?
You're welcome. I'll be there. In fact, I want to come up and talk with you about some of my inventions and how we can make it a better world.
Sounds good to me.
You have yourself a good evening, and we'll talk to you another time.
All right. Thank you now. Thanks,
uh-huh,
people.
Bye-bye.
Hope I told you the truth. Have a good day.
All right, people. That's hour two in the can for X Squared Radio. We will be back after these messages. 4 minutes. We'll be back with more X Squared Radio. Our friends down at NRG Resources have introduced a new engine oil technology. TVT 24/7 is the future of lubrication. This is the industry's first environmentally friendly oil additive that not only increases fuel mileage, it reduces engine, gearbox, and transaxle wear to nothing. The other brands fail anti-friction testing in less than 10 minutes under standard testing conditions. TBT 24/7 went more than 24 hours in the test and still did not fail. Get tomorrow's technology today by visiting the online store at X Squared Radio and pick up TBT 24/7 Engine Oil Energizer. There is some place you should visit before the end of the week. The Horizon Project is probably the most important examination of future events in the world today. But there is a reason you should visit their website soon. I can't give you all the details here, but I can tell you that the first DVD in the 6-part series is now available for pre-purchase at $5 off. This series will no doubt be airing on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, but you need the uncut version with all of the bonus material. Trust me, it may be one of the most important video productions you will ever see. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio today. If you have survived a disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio.
spice extends life. The spice expands consciousness. The spice is vital to space travel.
Welcome back, my friends. To X Squared Radio, we are so glad you are here tonight. We missed you. It's cold and snowy up here in eastern Washington State, up near the border of Idaho and Canada. Can't believe it. Global warming. I guess that's the way it affects weather, though. In this hour, we're going to have our good friend James Gilliland come on with us in a couple minutes and fill us in a little bit on UFO activity and maybe clarify some things for us so that we can understand the light side of UFOs and why they're here and maybe gain a little bit of insight into some of the information that we received tonight. Not saying that Mr. Grimsley would have said anything out of sorts. Certainly not. A witness is a witness, and we, you know, here at X Squared Radio, we are where the past meets the future. This is where everything is positive. So we want to make sure everybody has a fair chance to hear all sides, and we're all about enlightenment and bringing people the best possible information that we can. Wanted to also let you know a little bit more. I have had a couple of people write me about the Horizon Project, and we have not heard from the folks down at the Horizon Project lately, although we know that they're still there. They're still working hard because we're still seeing the films sell. That's why we advertise them every week. The Horizon Project is an amazing film documentary set that's being put together to try to make people aware of coming Earth cataclysms and some of the physics backing that. And also our third volume of The Ark of Millions of Years, 2012, Unlocking the Secret. This is the final book of the trilogy, and believe me, it puts a lot of pieces together. You will not be wanting for anything out there for information on the coming cataclysms or these earth changes that are coming up. Many people have been looking for the End Times books for a long time, maybe over 1,000 years. This set, these three books, the Ark of Millions of Years series, these are the End Times books. You'll know it. You'll be completely satisfied with all the information that you get. And we'll be letting that out in about a week. So, let me welcome my friend, James Gilliland, to the program. How are you, James?
I'm doing great.
Well, it's fantastic to hear your voice. You know, we both reside in the same state now, you on one end and me on the other, and we're both experiencing the strangest weather. What is going on? Is this global warming?
Well, yeah, it's definitely global warming. The one of the things people don't understand is when the Earth heats up and, you know, at the equator, all that hot air rising at the equator starts pulling in the cold air from the poles, and there's so much moisture in the air that basically it's, you know, dumping just, we had like 10 feet of snow up here this year. It was insane.
Yeah,
weird. Yeah, the snow and the immense rainfall and heavy snow, everything is all part of the global warming process.
I was looking at the news this morning on NWCN, it's Channel 48 up here, and, you know, the guy was kind of casually showing us this satellite photograph of clouds going around and around, and they were going in a counterclockwise direction, about 300 to 400 miles in diameter. Well, where I'm from, the southeast, we call that a hurricane. That was a hurricane pattern that I saw over the state of Washington this morning.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So you're exactly right. It pulls that polar air down from way up north of Alaska, and it pulls it down to the south, drags it across the ocean, and then pushes it up from the south and dumps snow on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was out fixing fences here on the ranch, and next thing you know, we're in a full-blown blizzard.
And I go, oh, it'll stop, you know. It just kept getting worse and worse. And finally I said, I think it's time to quit. And we went and, you know, gave it up and went inside.
Driven in by the weather.
Yeah.
So yeah,
this should be T-shirt weather.
In our, yeah, exactly. This is supposed to be spring, you know. I brought my motorcycle up here. I'm ready to take some rides out into nature. I want to see Grand Coulee Dam. I want to see some of these ancient flood areas when that big ice dam broke 25,000 years ago. There's some amazing fossil activity up here, but I can't get out on two wheels to enjoy it.
Well, you just have to get studded tires for your motorcycle.
Yeah, that's what it is. A snowsuit, exactly. No, I need a snowmobile. That's what I need. So in our last 2 hours, we had Ed Grimsley on, and we heard about Ed last summer and the sightings that he's been making with night vision goggles, and on his website, and Jose Escamilla has done a great job with his website. Of course, you get the green night vision goggle look like you're looking through, targeting glasses or something. But it is pretty amazing what he has on his website. And I know he mentioned your ranch, and he mentioned you a couple times, all positive, but I thought it was fair to get you on at this hour and let you tell what's going on up there at the ranch. He did mention that you had a lot of UFO activity up there, like we didn't already know that. But I want to hear from you what you're seeing through your night vision goggles.
Yeah, I listened to the show earlier, and there's a couple things were misquoted a little bit, but same thing just happened on Coast to Coast. You know, in Ed's favor, they said that I didn't see anything through the night goggles, and with Ian Punnett, you know, and that was not what I said at all. But, you know, I actually bought a pair of these goggles because I was so impressed by them, and there were so many ships that you could see more so, you know, than the naked eye. But we've been observing these for like 10 or 15 years here, just incredible activity, and it's increasing. But this is kind of a sanctuary here, and it's protected. And I know you've experienced some of the beings here yourself being up here, and they are so extremely benevolent. And what I've seen is that the real power, the real technology, as you move up the vibration continuum, is with the benevolent ones. They're the ones that really have the higher technology, that they're more spiritually and technologically advanced. And that's what we have going on here. We didn't see the war stuff going on here. I've been using the goggles ever since we bought them quite a while ago. And we've been watching ships flying side by side. We've been watching ships drop down out of nowhere when another ship would be there, and kind of signaling each other or whatever. But we haven't seen the wars or the destruction or any of the, you know, evasive maneuvers or debris coming down. You know, we just haven't seen it, so I can't really validate that end of it.
Well, now, he did mention that he saw, while he was up there at the ranch, a big mothership up above the ranch there, and it seemed like to him that there was a light beam that came out of Mount Adams up to the ship, and then the ship moved off.
Yeah.
Now, that would be consistent with what I experienced up there a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got the chest shot, you know, that I got as well, that just turns your whole world upside down. And it totally vibrationally lifts you, and that's a complete download of consciousness and energy, and you're just not the same.
Sure.
And it's a very benevolent, very spiritual experience. It, you know, it's like meeting a God being or whatever face-to-face, or some major angelic being or something, the same kind of energy exchange. But what I've seen is that what he's talking about is that happened over, not really on Mount Adams, but over to the right of Mount Adams, and there's a Yakima proving ground over there. And I found out later on through a friend of mine who was in the military, and he said he tried to find out more about it, but they had a kind of a top secret operation there. His son was involved with it, and, you know, he challenged him on it. He said, so were you over there shooting at the ships? And he said, I can't tell you. And we saw, looked like a plasma weapon and pulse lasers coming from the ground over to the, from the right side, more towards that military base, and shooting at one of these big golden ships flying over. And it just, it got a little brighter, and then it just moved on. So I think, to me, you know, the most dangerous people in the universe, I think, are right here on Earth. I think it's not the heavens we need to worry about. It's what's been going on Earth already, and what's coming in now is the more extremely advanced, benevolent ones that are putting an end to a lot of the manipulation and nonsense that's been happening on the planet.
So do you think they are monitoring some of the warfare posturing that's going on the Earth right now between our own people?
Oh, definitely. They're monitoring the nuclear bases. There's there's two Dr. Salas out there, and one, I think, is a colonel. I'm not sure. He's somewhere very high-ranking, and he was there when they came in, and one of the ships came in and just shut down all the missile silos. And
that was Robert Sala. Right,
what's
Robert
that?
Sala.
Yeah.
Robert Sala,
yeah.
He was actually over 10 missile silos, and they had a UFO that came over. This is one of the most well-documented military interactions in history.
Mm-hmm.
And the UFO was not only sighted on radar, but also visually contacted by people there at the missile silo. And then the control systems, the computer control systems to each one of the silos, shut down, and the hard drives were wiped clean. And
mm-hmm.
this made the Air Force extremely agitated, because this was a clear and present danger. This was interfering with the defense systems of the United States. So this was, you know, nigh unto an act of war. However, the ship moved off with complete impunity. I mean, we didn't do anything to it at all. So high up heads rolled when that happened. And this happened many years ago when Robert Sala was on active duty.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells the story. He was at the expo in Hawaii 2 years ago, where he shared this story, and we had him on the station talking about it.
Yeah, I was there at that. I spoke at that expo, and there were several other people there that were, you know, there were, I'm trying to think, there were ambassadors there. There's Paul Hellyer, who was the former Canadian defense minister. All of them were just blowing the whistle on this cover-up and the interaction that, you know, that we've had in the past, and it's very well documented.
Well, it seems like, at least internationally speaking, that we are coming to some kind of crescendo. We mentioned earlier on the program here that raw materials like tin and copper and gold and oil are now being demanded by what was once considered third world countries. Now they're moving into the industrial realm, and their industries are demanding these raw materials for themselves, not for resale to the United States, but because the middle class of India and China now want everything, and they have the ability to buy it because the yuan is very, very strong right now compared to the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, you know, we can no longer count on peace through trade. Now we have countries that are becoming autonomous, and they're competing with us for energy and for raw materials. So we have to come up with some kind of solution, and I don't think it's going to be an easy one, do you?
Well, you know, the solution is to get the right leadership in office that's going to, you know, back this and protect the people that are coming forward with the technologies. And the technologies are here on the planet. I've seen it several times, and I know we don't even need to worry about fuel anymore. We have fuel as technology that can provide all of our energy needs and transportation needs. And, you know, in fact, we don't even need tires because it's anti-gravity and there's counter-gravity available. So, I mean, I've held this in my hand. I've seen it operate. I can't really say where it is, and hopefully you won't mention it either, because you know as well, since I brought you into connection with one of these people. But, you know, the guy that had that technology, his his laboratory was blown up, his family threatened. It was just a real mess, and I was helping to get this out at the time, and pretty much everybody decided that, you know, it's just not going to happen right now because, you know, everybody wants to back it. They say, oh, I'll do it, I'll make it happen, you know, and this and that, but when you're up against the wall and these other guys come in, everybody disappears and you're sitting there holding the bag. But, like a good example is Stanley Meyer, you know, he was killed and he brought out the technology to burn water so we wouldn't even need fuel anymore. And he was killed. And luckily his brother, I believe James Meyer, is bringing forward the technology now and he's stepping up, you know, to the plate and still going to bring this out. So, you know, we've had the technology for years and years and years to clean up our environment and turn things around. The problem is that we just haven't had the leadership or the people with moral integrity to bring this out and make it happen.
Well, I know that there are some leaders out there. Senator Maria Cantwell came here to visit us a couple of months back, and she really was supportive of us and, you know, looked at our facility here and is back in Washington and has been in communication with those associated with us, saying that, you know, the grant money and low-interest loan money is now being made available for these alternative energy companies. What they really have to come up with is a working prototype, and they've got to have the courage to come out with it and not think that, you know, somebody is going to make them a billionaire right off the bat. There's just a moral obligation to start bringing this technology forth and doing the work that we're doing. Come out, do the engineering, get the hard work done, and let's build it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a strange place to be in because I've been in that field for a long time, and I had meeting after meeting after meeting with people that were so-called humanitarians, and they were going to get this out and make it happen. And, you know, eventually they went up and tried to steal the technology. They had they already had deals with the war industry to turn this into war toys, and it was just unbelievable and just happened over and over and over again. That, you know, that we had a joke. We used to say that, you know, vegetarians eat vegetables, what do humanitarians eat? Because all these people called themselves humanitarians. You know, but they were pretty much eating up all the humans that were creating these devices and trying to get them out.
Yeah, but they don't eat clowns because they taste funny.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, going back to the activity here. Now in J.D. Hertak's book, he'd be a good one to ask about this. But he talks about the times that we're in right now, and he said that the benevolent, spiritually advanced beings are coming in now, and they're putting an end to the misuse of technology, and all beings throughout the galaxy here, probably the universe, that have abused this technology and not used it to betterment, you know, themselves or others or whatever, have used it to overpower others. So there does seem to be a major movement on high to put an end to the negative use of these technologies and to assist us in taking this evolutionary leap in consciousness and, you know, evolution, you might say. We're going to do this huge shift that we're undergoing right now. So there definitely is something going on. I just haven't seen the warring to the degree that Ed has seen it. And maybe in his area that's going on, but in our area it's not. It's very benevolent. It's very, the energy up here is just incredible. And who knows, maybe we draw to us the protection we need by these extremely benevolent beings. And I always tell people the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. And if you have a military man observing a flash of light between two ships, you know, he would say there's a war and they're fighting and they're blowing each other up. You know, if you had a UPS guy seeing it, he'd go, wow, what a good way to transfer cargo, you know, or even people, you know, they could be beaming people back and forth, who knows. And so, you know, without seeing all the debris coming down, I believe space starts at, what, about 150 miles, doesn't it?
Yeah, it starts at about, 100 miles, but you will run into some stratosphere at that altitude. So,
yeah.
Most of our satellites are at least 200 miles out.
Yeah, and so everything is going to be falling down to Earth, and there should be debris everywhere, falling down in people's backyards everywhere. So, some of it could burn up, who knows, but it just seems that there would be a lot more debris around. And, again, I can't verify the war stuff going on, but I can verify that cargos do work, exceptionally well. And we had them out last night with a group up here, and they were just blown away watching the ships go by and doubles. And, their ships are coming in real low, and we're shooting lasers up to them, and they're expanding huge, and signaling back. So I've got that all on film as well, just without the night shot, just with a regular little Sony camera. So, we have 70 hours of footage
Those green lasers only go up maybe 4,000 or 5,000 feet, so they've got to be pretty low to be able to see those things.
Yeah, and the lasers are actually going up beyond them. The lasers are going past the ship.
Wow.
So basically, they're definitely in our atmosphere. It's not the space station or the shuttle that they keep trying to say. The NASA and SETI boys, they're going, oh, that's the space station, or that's just the shuttle, and things like that. And I go, well, we're tapped into heavens above, and we know exactly where the shuttle is and the space station and all the major satellites, as well as iridium flares. And the lasers are showing very clearly that these are in our atmosphere, because we can get a distance on these things. And we've had these things treetop level, and they're making right angle turns, stopping. They're morphing from one ship to three ships and back to one again. So they're showing extremely high technology and anything way beyond anything that we have. So it's pretty much a done deal that this is going on. But, if we keep relying on SETI or NASA to tell us what's going on, everything concerning UFOs has to go through national security, and it stops right there. So basically those two groups, you're not going to hear about anything.
Yeah, it seems strange that all of the government-funded organizations that are, quote, here to help us aren't really much help, are they?
No. I tell you what's interesting. I hear Seth Shustad go on the air all the time and say there's no evidence whatsoever. There's nothing credible. There's no hard evidence. You hear this over and over and over again, and basically, there's two things going. One, he says our spy satellites would definitely sense UFOs if they were in the area. Well, he's right about that because we have incredible technology up there that can spot any kind of disturbance in the field, and infrared and everything else. And they're scrambling just after these UFOs within minutes. So they're already tracking these UFOs. But he said if they were tracking him, he'd know about it. And I don't know how he got top secret clearance, being a public organization, about all these satellites and how he's monitoring all these secret spy satellites. But, again, if he just turned his computer on and went to Google, and started watching Google videos around the world where full news teams are out there doing an interview and UFOs are flying behind them, and it's all over the news in Turkey, in South America, Brazil, Mexico. It's front page news. Hundreds, if not thousands, of craft are flying over major cities down there. And we have that footage, and it's undeniable footage. So I don't know where Seth spends his time, but definitely it must be in a little cubicle with no windows,
and
internet to make statements like that.
We covered a story a couple of months ago about the spy satellite that NASA had launched for the military, and it had some amazing camera technology on there. They did not want that camera technology to fall into the wrong hands. And for some reason, right after they launched it, something happened to it, and it became inoperable. They were not able to steer it, and so its orbit began to decay, and it was going to fall to Earth. Now, usually we just let these things hit the atmosphere, and they burn up, and it's no problem. But this one, they made the claim that there was some hydrazine on it, and they didn't want it to get into the atmosphere, and they were really caring about the environment, And so they decided to shoot it out of the sky, and so they modified a Saturn V or a ICBM, and they fired it, and they hit it, and they blew it to smithereens up in orbit. So now none of that camera technology can fall into the wrong hands. But it just seemed very strange that we launched this high-tech satellite into space, and it's one of those satellites that's going to be going over China looking at what they're doing, and right after it gets up there, it quits working. So maybe the Chinese have figured out a way to disable our satellites, but in any case, I think there's a lot more to that story than meets the eye.
You know, I'm sure there is, and if somebody did the research, they'd find out that there are so many rockets that have gone up and blown up and turned around and fell right back down to Earth, and all had to do with weaponizing space. So,
yeah.
So it's, you know, we've spent billions and billions of dollars for nothing.
No, I don't think we're spending billions and billions of dollars for nothing, and I do think that there is some weaponizing of space going on. There's no doubt that he who owns space owns the airspace above this planet, and he who owns the airspace above the planet owns the planet. So if you were a force coming from another world to this planet, the first thing that you would do is secure the airspace over it. So, you know, maybe... You know, our military is trying to defend itself, or the military is trying to defend itself from being taken over from a force from beyond.
Well, there's a real myth logic there. I'll tell you why. Basically, anybody that's going to get here is probably thousands, if not millions of years ahead of us in technology. And basically, for us to take an aggressive stance toward that is kind of a no-brainer. You know, we're not going to win. And despite all the movies you see in Hollywood, you know, and it's just not going to turn out that way. And anybody using logic would know that. So in the interest of national security, if you have beings coming that are extremely advanced beings and very technologically advanced beings, the wisest path would be to make friends with them. And most of the beings out there, if they haven't destroyed themselves with their technology, would be spiritually advanced or benevolent. You know, there could be a few out there, you know, lesser beings zipping around, you know, creating havoc and creating problems, but in order to deal with that, they too would be more advanced than we are as well. And so, again, you're getting back to base logic that, in the interest of national security, let's make friends with the benevolent ones, let's join the rest of the universe in peace, and let's ask them for protection in dealing with this issue.
I have a tendency to believe you're right, that explorers are not conquerors, generally speaking. That's not to say that the Spaniards didn't explore to South America, but they didn't come as conquerors first. They came as explorers first, but once they discovered there was gold, then they came back as conquerors.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I keep seeing, I'm working very closely with Alpha Rubrae and Michael Sala, Dr. Sala, and the exopolitics movement, and they're, you know, forming initiatives, and they're going to the United Nations, and they're opening, you know, a decade of contact for peaceful contact to get the best scientists to really look into this and stop greeting them with aggression and open a door up so we can have a peaceful dialogue and contact with these beings. So, you know, let's get back to the threat. You know, basically right now we've got the war industry and the pharmaceutical industry and the oil industry running the country. You know, that's the big corporations, the big bucks. Well, these beings, most likely, they've definitely conquered, you know, any energy needs, and they've learned how to do that fuelessly and effortlessly. You know, they, you know, probably stand for universal peace, and they're very, you know, spiritually involved, most likely. And
right.
They've also conquered disease. I mean, their biology and technology and in that area is probably so far beyond ours. You know, they probably heal everything energetically and you know, using some advanced form of rife technology or something of that nature. So, of course, they would be a threat to the status quo, but for the people that really want to live in harmony with each other and nature and clean up the environment and evolve and you know, experience our God-given rights of you know, brother, sister, love and freedom and prosperity and things of that nature, you know, then they would be an ally. And what I'm seeing right now is the people are just going to have to rise up and just say, you know, we're done with the darkness, we're done with the negative, we're done with the warring, the disease, the pollution, and we want to take the upward spiral and evolve, you know, and take this quantum leap. And there's other people that are trying to take us down that road of total social, economic, and environmental collapse, and those are the controllers, or the people that just all they do is lust for power and wealth.
So do you think there are movements in other countries as well, like you know, Pakistan and Iraq and China and India and maybe Turkey, places where you know, there have been warlike factions in the past? Do you think there are movements in those countries as well to lean more toward the peaceful realm? Because, you know, I know what will happen if this country lays down its arms and says, okay, we're no longer going to spend $450 billion a year building up our defense systems. We're going to start spending $400 billion a year into exploration, into new energy and into space and into technologies to make it easier to survive as a species. We're going to make a pretty easy target to those people who want to kill us.
Well, on the other hand, too, it's like we've spent how many billions, if not, you know, trillions of dollars already, and that didn't stop the World Trade Center from going down, and another building that nothing ever touched going down all by itself, you know, and, you know, all these other events that are happening that are, you know, bolstering up the war industry. So basically, in order to keep the war industry going, you have to keep a threat going, and we're seeing that over and over again. And the same thing with the UFO enigma. They're trying to gear up for a false flag operation where they're going to create a false UFO attack, and everybody knows about this. Greer talks about it. Sala talks about it. All of them. Alfred Rivet talks about it, and trying to warn people, don't fall for it. This is just another false flag operation to keep everybody in terror and fear, and keep, you know, bolstering up this war industry. And it's insane. You know, people are losing their houses right now. People are starving. You know, around the world, we're having serious environmental crises. We've got, I forgot how many. It used to be something like, I don't know how many dead zones in the ocean right now, and they're thousands of miles wide where there's nothing there, you know. And this planet is in serious crisis right now.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And we should be, you know, we should be making war on poverty, and we should be making war on homelessness and war on pollution and things of that nature. That's what we should be warring on, not each other.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that. We need to learn how to live within our families, within our societies, within the boundaries of the nature around us. We cannot just keep populating and keep populating and keep sprawling and sprawling and consuming our planet. There has to be a way to find a stasis point, a point at which enough life is existing on the planet for the resources that are here. We've got to find a way to manage the human population and nature's population at the same time. We just can't, because if you keep feeding everyone and you keep making sure they live to be 100 years old and you keep making sure that there are no natural causes of death like exposure and storms and all that, eventually, I mean in a very short order, we're going to run out of space. We're going to run out of oxygen. We're going to run out of water. We're going to run out of food. And we're going to run out of patience with one another. This is all about management.
Yeah, they've done studies where they've found out that the population control, the birth rate in more technologically advanced countries actually starts falling. The more technologically advanced it becomes and the more it just stops. The birth rate starts falling. So basically, if we were raising up in technology and we weren't in base survival and trying to pump out kids just to live, you know, and keep our species going. You know, there's a consciousness that sets in or whatever that actually the birth rate just automatically starts going down. And it really doesn't help. A lot of the religions perpetuate this, you know, because they want more and more people out there to be paying a percentage of their, you know, life's earnings to the church. And so they say, oh, just keep pumping those babies out, you know, it's good, you know, it's good. But again, we have to stop, and we can't breed past our the ability of our environment to sustain us. And we have to, you know, start waking up and live in harmony and in balance with, you know, our environment.
Right. Well, we know what happens. I mean, when we have one bad crop of wheat, the price of wheat goes up.
Mm-hmm.
If we have oil discoveries don't get made, and yet consumption of oil keeps going, that oil prices go up because it's getting more rare, and we're going to run out. If we keep burning it in our gas tanks, we're going to run out.
Mm-hmm.
All the oil in the world once came from algae. So why can't we just go back to algae as a source of fuel?
Well, it sure helps the body to run on algae, I know that.
Well, some algae is good for you. Some
Well, you know, again, going back to the technologies coming out, they actually have technology out where you can actually run a car on water, period, and not even use fuel. And they also have another technology that doubles, it's a lesser technology that doubles your mileage, your gas mileage. So right away, just by adding that technology, we would cut our fuel consumption down in half. And it's a very simple technology.
I just don't want them using drinking water. We're in short supply of that as it is.
Yeah, you know, there's technology to clean up the water as well, and actually make a water that when you pour it into the other water, it's self-cleansing. It'll start cleaning up the other water.
Right, yeah. Well, there's a lot of stuff we could talk about, but unfortunately, as you well know here on DBS Radio, as you also have your own program, we're out of time.
So yeah.
We have to get off the air and let the next program on.
Uh-huh.
James, as always, I appreciate you coming back on the program, especially on short notice. And I'm going to make my way down there to the ranch just as soon as the weather gets suitable for two-wheel travel.
Great. You know, I think people just really need to go outside and look up right now and send out a loving, joyous, peaceful thought to the universe and say, you know, we would really like some help down here and just see what happens.
I agree with that. Let's do it. May 1st, worldwide, May Day, we have a massive world positive message that goes out. Just do it in your meditation, do it in your prayers, do it in your songs, your dance, hug your family, do something, and send out a positive pulse.
It works for me.
All right, my friend, you have yourself a wonderful week. And,
you too.
We'll be talking to you later.
All right, good night.
Good night. All right, my friends, that's another 3-hour X Squared Radio in the can, April 20th, 2008. We'll be back next week. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio, saying peace, Earth Explorers.